want to draw your attention to a question. Why do people believe in Christ? What can we do to help people trust Christ? This past week, I planned on in the early spring, got to thinking about Thanksgiving time. Been a long time since I'd been home to Dallas and been around any family. I only have one uncle that's left, and Susan's dad, but one uncle, and that's unsaved, and whole family. And so they're good people, great people, but I don't know they know the Lord personally. And so I went down, I pray for them every day, and I was planning on flying down to spend Thanksgiving with them. I got a chance to do that because the way my dad was, I couldn't really say anything. All that I could do is just try to be a testimony, be a blessing. And I want to go down and spend time with them. And the thought hit me, you know, what should our life be about? It should be about trying to see people saved and trying to live for Christ. Those are the two purposes of the Christian life. Trying to reach others and trying to please Him. Trying to be close to Him. And so Thanksgiving time is about, you know, getting closer to the Lord. Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. Recognizing all that He's done. But in this story here, I want you to notice, Jesus is on a normal day. And all of us in this room, we have to learn to live like Jesus did. And on a normal day, always represent Christ. Now, of course, Jesus Christ was perfect. So He's walking with the disciples, and it's about noontime. And so the disciples said, we're going to go in and get some food. They didn't have anything with them. And He said, okay, I'll wait out here. And now Jesus knew all things. So He goes and sits by a well. And no one comes to the well during the day because it's too hot. Except for the people that are the worst of the lot. Now, you'll remember in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans. Samaritans were outcasts of the Jewish nation. They were part Jew, part the Samaritan, I mean part Gentile, and so their names were not registered as full Jews, so they were not accepted. So they lived outside Jerusalem in the sense of not really feeling a part. So they were usually a little more humble, a little more beaten down, and so they had this little village that they lived in, and Jesus came, and there was a woman, and keep in mind, you have the lost, and you have the really lost. Now, I don't know who family you're around, if they're lost or really lost. I don't know if the people you work with are lost or really lost. And what do I mean by that? Well, understand, this woman came at noontime. No one else was there because she was the most wicked woman of the town. In this day, when you did not do what she did, she was living with some guy. What's the penalty for that if you're found out? Stoning. So nobody did that. But they perhaps knew that she was, but couldn't prove it. And so she had come to the village that was Samaritans. They were beat down people, and she said, "Well, I'll just live there." And yet they looked at her as even less than them. So you got sinners and you got really bad sinners. And all of them are going to hell. All of us are going to hell. Doesn't matter who we are. If we're sinners or bad sinners, we have no chance for heaven. Some are easier to win. Some are harder to win. Usually the bad sinners are more difficult to win. But sometimes it can be the good sinners because they don't realize they're lost. They think they're good enough. They're trying to balance. Maybe I can get good enough to get to heaven. How many of you have ever heard someone say, I'm trying to get to heaven. I haven't done too many bad things or something to that effect. Raise your hand. Look here. All over. You want to know why? That's the old devil's plan. Get them to feel pretty good. I'm a good sinner. And then I'm a bad sinner. They all need to trust Christ. So Jesus Christ goes and sits down the well, and the bad sinner comes in. Starts to draw water, and Jesus starts to talk to her. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about her life. Number one, she'd had five husbands, so she'd been married and divorced five times. And then she was now living with some guy, and she was deserving of the death penalty. And so Jesus begins to talk to her, and then he looks at her and says, look, you've had five husbands, and you're living with a guy now. And at that point in time, she said, oh, no, I could be stoned for that. But then I want you to notice there's several reasons why people trust Christ as Savior. You'll notice, if you would, in chapter 4, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. There has to be a soul winner. There has to be somebody that's talking about Jesus Christ. People are not going to get saved unless someone is proud of the Lord. How many of you here have trusted Christ to save? You're proud enough of the Lord to tell somebody else. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. In other words, your purpose is just telling people how wonderful Christ is. Do you understand today? That's one of the number one ways that people trust Christ as Savior. How many of you trusted Christ because somebody told you about Jesus? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Look, there it is. Okay? Now, many times it's not the first one. Brother Alan Sutton, our missionary to Uganda, he was told about Christ on a ship. He was in the Navy. And it was many, 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 many years later, he was in an island in the Philippines, and he began to read the scriptures, and then that soul winner's testimony and words came back to him as he read the scriptures, and he put them together and trusted Christ as Savior. You're going to notice that the first way people get saved is a soul winner, someone that just tells them. That's the reason we have tracts in our pocket. That's the reason you want to talk about the Lord. So if you're at a family reunion, you can talk about how wonderful Christ is. You don't have to pigeonhole somebody. Maybe at work you can't talk about that, but you can say, I'm thankful the Lord blessed me this day. I'm thankful for this and for that. You can talk of the Lord without using offensive terms, but there's got to be somebody that represents Christ. That's a soul winner. Are you today representing Christ? I mean, Jesus goes up to the well, and he's the soul winner in this case. This woman wants nothing of Christ. She knows she's religious. Look, if you would, in John chapter 4. And look, if you would, in verse number 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, the Jews, she's speaking to him, she could tell he's a Jew, he's in full Jewish dress. And she says, that ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father, nor just not the place. Verse 22, you worship, you know not what. So he's talking to her. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. You know, worship me. God is a spirit, verse 24. And the woman said unto him, I know that when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things. So she knew about the Lord. She knew about Christ coming. She knew about the Messiah, but she was not saved. And that's the condition of most of America. They know about Christ. They know he came. They know he died. They wear a cross and a necklace around their neck. They go to a church some form or fashion because they believe Jesus died for them. But the Bible says in James chapter 3, the devils believe and they tremble. So just knowing that he's there, a mental assent, is not good enough. And so Jesus looks at her as a soul winner and says, I am the Messiah. Notice, if you would, in verse number 26, and Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So she has to make a decision right there. A soul winner's job is to try to bring people to a decision. It's to try to get them to understand how wonderful Christ is. So we see the first way someone trusts Christ is a soul winner. The second way is by the word of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with him. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. So people get saved because they read the word of God. They are taught the word of God. That can be done in church. That's what we're doing right now. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Well, I want you to make sure that you hear the gospel. Jesus died for you today. And you're a sinner. Good sinner, bad sinner. Both of them are going to hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And the reason it's so narrow is because you have to throw away all your good deeds. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saves us. Everybody in this room that's trusted Christ as Savior, you've got to come to Jesus Christ, or you have, and say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So salvation is two parts. It's confessing your sin. It's telling the Lord, Lord, I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm not good enough. I never will be good enough. Lord, would you forgive me? It's asking him to forgive you. And he does. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise of God. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? That's what the Word of God says. That's the total gospel. You know, the Bible says there's a book in heaven that's got every name written in it. It's called the Book of Life. Revelation 20, verse number 15, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I preached on that one time many years ago, and I'd referenced it in two or three sermons. And there was a man that was trying to figure out how to get saved. And he started looking for the book in the lobby. Yeah, he's here today. He trusted Christ as Savior. But it sometimes takes a little time for all the dots to connect. It's not a place where you go write your name. God does that. It's not a place where you go join a church. It's not a place where you get baptized. It's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And every man, boy, woman, and girl in this room, you must come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, because you've seen it in the Word of God or somebody's taught you about it. Now, you can hear about it in church. You hear about it now. But you know what? The Lord says, I want you in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to talk about it in your home. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 6. I want you to see this. How we teach the Word of God. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And folks, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion's here. Christianity's here. It's in your heart. And when something gets in your heart, it changes everything about you. That's why a Christian has got to be different. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you've really trusted Christ as Savior, it affects you. A man got saved a few months back, and he said, since the day I got saved, I've noticed it's been harder for me to do the same things I used to do at work. I just got to pull back a little bit. I can't be around the same guys because I just noticed it's not for me anymore. And I never said a word about that. It's just something happened. It's the Holy Spirit comes into the heart and he begins to guide and lead you. And so you and I, when we get saved, we become a different person, a new creature. Old things are passed away. All of our sins are washed away. Notice if you would. And if you want that for your children, if you want that for your family, this is for you. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, even more so than a television program, even more so than how to shoot a basketball, how to throw a football, or how to do their grades, how to get the square root of something. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do you talk about? Does the subject invariably talk about the greatness of great God that we serve? When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when you put your children to bed, do you talk about how wonderful the Lord is? Do you spend a little bit of time with them? Is it real? Do you say some little diddly prayer? Or do you sit down with them and plead with the Lord to protect them and open up their hearts? Do they know you walk with the Lord? And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up, do you get up on the right side of the bed because of Jesus? There it is right there. Notice in verse number 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I cannot tell you how many times. Wait a minute. How many of you have the book, word, the verse Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, in the wall of your house or on the door of your house, someplace in your house. You have a verse of scripture in your house. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it up. Okay. Now that's wonderful. That's one of the teachings of scripture. That's how we help our families to be saved. But that alone is not what affects the heart. It is the third thing. Number one, a soul winner. Number two, the scriptures, teaching the scriptures, talking about the scriptures, talking about the Lord. You see it in Deuteronomy. If you'll notice, it's talking about the Lord all the time. That's the subject conversation in your home. Do you talk about the Lord in your home? Do you talk about him in glowing terms? Do you trust him? Do you tell of victories? That's what Thanksgiving is about. Do you tell of the Thanksgiving of things to the Lord? Are you bragging on the Lord and his goodness to you? That's one of the ways people trust Christ to save your children especially. But you've got number one, soul winner. Number two, the word of God as it's being taught. And number three, you've got people that have a changed life. Notice, if you would, in John chapter 4, look in verse number 42. He said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying. Now, listen very carefully. Something had changed because, number one, she couldn't even go to the well to get water with the other people there. She was an outcast. Nobody would listen to her. But something happened in her life. She became a new creature. And when she went back to town, she began to tell people these wonderful things. And you'll notice, if you would, in John chapter 4, in verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, no man's going to listen to her. They want to stay away from her. Their wives said, you leave that woman alone. So she had to go to the well by herself, and no woman was there. No man was there. She was an outcast of the world. What happened where the men would listen? Notice, if you would, in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did is dot and dot, this the Christ. And then they went out of the city and came unto him. How did she have so much influence? Change life. You see, you and I don't realize the power of a holy life. That's what God wants for every Christian in this room. It is one of the ways that our testimony shines. It's a changed life. I would imagine she had a pretty filthy mouth, and she goes back into town and they hear no more of the words. She goes back into town and said, look, you know what I've done. I've been doing this. I've been living with a guy, and Jesus told me all of that, and I got it right, and my whole life is different. I can just tell on the inside. Why don't you come hear him talk? Hear him tell you the same story he told me. This is the Christ. I'm sure of it. And they said, wow, something happened to her. Has something happened to you? You see, that's the way every father gets the attention of his children and his wife. Changed life. That's the way every wife gets the attention of her husband and her children. That's the way every older brother gets a chance to lead his younger brothers, younger sisters to Christ. A changed life. When I went back to Dallas, the only thing I could take was a changed life. They got the scriptures. They go to church every Sunday. But they're trusting something totally different. They're good works. One of them is even a principal of a parochial school. There's not much. They're good people. But Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved, that not of yourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. So you know what God is saying? Look, you'll never make it on your own. It's not good works. But when you get people confused, the old devil gets in their ear and says, you're good enough. You might make it. You're a good sinner. You might can make it. You're not a bad sinner like that woman at the well. You're a good sinner. And the old devil takes them all the way to hell thinking they're a good sinner. There's no such thing. There's only redeemed sinners and then sinners on the way to hell. That's only two there are. But the old devil tries to parse it out, get people to think they're good. And you know, sometimes you and I can say nothing. You know why? Because somebody else has not lived right in front of them. If somebody hadn't lived right, the only thing you can do is change and live right. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see a verse. Now, I want you to realize I didn't write this verse. I just want you to see it. Now, I want you to notice something here very quickly. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me, if you would. Verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing right, by living right, you can cause people to say, well, you know, I think this about religion. I think that about religion. You can cause them to keep their mouth closed and say, what happened to you? Look in verse number 18. Servants, these are slaves sometimes, and sometimes these are employees. Be subject to your masters with all fear, with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. You got a bad boss, be good to him. Be subject to him. Submit. It's part of your reaching him for Christ. You can't be belligerent to a wicked boss and ever see him saved. Notice in verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. He said, there's the Christian life. Learn to live right in the midst of trouble. Now, there's the fourth way you can learn to reach people is by doing right in troublesome times. Doing right when other people don't. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, then he gives us the example of the greatest example of how and what you and I should do when we're facing troublesome times. For even hereunto were you called. It's the call of God for every Christian to do what's right when you get up on the wrong side of the bed. To say, Lord, help me to get up right every morning. Lord, help me to always represent you. Notice, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Now look over chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives. Now look at verse number 7. Likewise, you husbands. So he looks at us as God's children, and he said, look, if you want to make an eternal difference, you live like Jesus did. Likewise, he is your example. He put down footsteps for you to follow. When he was cursed, he didn't curse back. When he was mocked, he didn't mock back. When people were bitter and unforgiving to him, he forgave them. Likewise. Now look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Did you get that? You got a husband that's not doing what's right? Here's the solution. Here's the way you win them. They also may, without the word of God, be won by the conversation of the wives, by the lifestyle of the wives, by the attitude of the wife. And that's the way a husband wins his wife. A wife wins her husband. It's by the light of your testimony. Only problem is we don't like that. We want it to be quick and easy. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. Would you rather live your life with someone unsaved that treats you dirty and bad, does you wrong? Would you rather take it for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and the very last week of their life, they trust Christ as Savior? Or would you rather pay them back regularly, hold your ground, and see them die and go to hell? But you say, well, Pastor, that's not fair. likewise your wives, likewise your husbands. He says it to both of us. If you got an unsaved wife, if you got an unsaved boss at work, likewise. Show them Christ when it's not easy. We don't do that. We don't show Christ. Christ was weary. He was exhausted. And when she came up to him, she said, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. The Jews don't talk to me." And Jesus said, "Because I'm Christ. I love you. I want you to be saved." And she trusted him as Savior because he was different. You know what he did? He went without lunch to witness to her. The disciples had eaten lunch in town. They came back and said, "Hey, you want something to eat?" He said, "No, I have meat to eat that you know not of." You see, he was caught up in being a light, in being a testimony. Can I ask you a question? Who are you a light to today? Are you concerned about someone trusting Christ as Savior? Can you imagine in Acts, I'll just tell you the story, Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they're preaching in the synagogues, and the Jews got mad at them and threw them out and got them sent before the judges and said, "These people are teaching something that's not right." And so they put them before the judges, they hooked them up, and they beat them with an inch of a life. They gave them 39 stripes, and their backs were bloodied, and they were all beaten, and they threw them in jail and said, "You keep them tight and safe." So they threw them in the dungeon, the worst part of the jail, put them in locks. And so here they're sitting in jail, their feet and everything, they're in stocks, and they sitting in jail, and it's about midnight, and Paul looks at Silas, and Silas looked at Paul, and they begin to say, "Hey, man, let's sing." I think that'd been the farthest thing from most of our minds. Our minds was, "I can't believe how unfair this is. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, this isn't right." Every Christian ought to take one word out of your vocabulary: fair. Because the old devil's going to try to wreck you with that word. Because Jesus said, if they treat, this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience' sake endure grief, suffering wrongfully, that's your example. Thereunto you're all called. So you and I have to learn how to be mistreated and have a sweet spirit. Why? Without the word of God, we can win people to Christ. This story of John 4 is a story of a woman that would have never gone to heaven, but one man, a soul winner, Jesus, sat down with her and began to love on her and began to talk to her and share with her his heart. And she could tell, why is he talking to me? He's better than me. He's a Jew. He's somebody special. I am not. And Jesus got himself on her level and said, look, you need to trust me as your Savior. I am he. I am the Messiah. And she goes running into town. Come see the man that told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Her whole life was different. She was changed into his image in a moment of time. Who is it that you're today burdened and praying for? Lord, would you let me see them changed? Would you let me see them trust you as Savior? I remind you that there's several ways you can be a soul winner. You can just talk to people about Christ. Number two, the Word of God. You can put it all around. You can talk about it in your house, in your car. You can talk about the Lord. You can use Scripture. Number three, you know, you can teach it faithfully over time. In Acts chapter 28, the Bible says that when Paul finally got to Rome, he was there, and the Jews said, "We haven't heard much from you, but we heard about all about this new religion, this Christianity thing. We've heard that that's just a bunch of baloney. Would you tell us about it?" So he gets together and he gets them all together in his own hiring house and begins to teach them, and he teaches them for 2 years. And they watched him. So sometimes it takes a lifetime. You know, I've told you the story of my uncle. My dad and I, family, prayed for my uncle. My dad had a twin brother. They were nothing alike. I never heard my dad curse. Never heard my dad tell a dirty joke. When he got around his brother, he was on his best behavior. But the way he treated his family, my dad, my brother wouldn't listen to him. So he sort of threw my dad's religion out the window. But you can still pray. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. 80-something years old. He's on his deathbed. And two people, we still don't know who they were, came to his hospital bed, began to witness to him. My dad called me after his brother died and said, and he was weeping. He said, "Son, my brother's in hell." He called me 2 days later and said, "David, you'll never believe what happened. Somebody went to my brother's room and began to talk to him about Christ, and he trusted Christ the day before he died. Can you believe that?" He was thrilled. Never, ever give up. He knew my dad was different, but he also had a reason to blame my dad and to blame Christianity. That's the reason the Bible says Christians are to be blameless. So everybody in this room, are you blameless today? Are you showing Christ? You'll never be able to win anybody to Christ if you give them stumbling blocks along the way. You curse a little bit in your home. You trash people in your home. You fuss and fight in your home without making an apology and making it right. Do you know that 90% of the people in the world do not want their families to have their children to have the same kind of marriage they have? Something's wrong with that. The only people that can stop it are Christians. Do you want your children following our footsteps? Jesus said, "Likewise, follow my footsteps. Likewise, follow the way I talk." Today, I'm reminded why people believe. They believe because of a soul winner, someone that tells them. They believe because of the scriptures being so clearly presented, because somebody invites them to church and they come. We'll have some big days in the spring, a friend day, and I encourage you to bring a friend and we'll preach the gospel to try to help them to understand. They may hear it and go out of here, and it may take many more years before it sinks in, and maybe they're reading the Bible and all of a sudden, bang, it hits them. That's what they were talking about. It may be that they trust Christ that day, but my encouragement to you is we got to get the word out so we invite people to church. But number three is we got to live right. You got to be a light. You have to be different, a changed life. And number four, you and I have to be a light for a long time. It can't be a drop in the bucket. It can't be we do what's right for a few months and a few years. It's got to be a lifestyle that the Lord, our whole life, when you get up in the morning, "Lord, this day is for you," every day of the rest of your life, if you're going to represent Christ. Likewise, husbands, likewise, wives. He following his footsteps. And everybody in this room, let me ask you a question. Who is it on your list? I've got some people on my prayer list I prayed for this morning that they're your family and they're in this room. Your family's not in the room, but you're in this room. And I know you have unsaved family members, and I'm praying for them. And I have my own family members I'm praying for every day. By name, I want to see them saved. You know what? That's the best I can do aside from living right in the eyes of others. So every morning when you get up, when thou riseth up, what kind of day are you going to live? Today, let me ask you a question. It's the middle of the day. What kind of day are you going to live? That they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, the husbands, the employee, the brother, the sister. Today, we have some promises we're not claiming. And there are going to be people miss heaven because you and I are not different. Can I encourage you today? Come to this altar and say, "Lord, there's this one thing I've been doing I'm hanging on to. Forgive me. Lord, help me to get rid of it." There are people watching everybody in this room. There's not one person in this room, nobody watches you. Everybody in this room, you're in somebody's eye, and you can make all the difference, whether to trust Christ or to serve him. Will you be the light? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. Will you be the light? Why people believe. Could I encourage you this morning? It's Christmas time. It's Thanksgiving time. It's a time to really shine. It's a time where people are looking. Oh, yes, I know they're busy with all the stuff of Christmas, but you and I can give them the truth of Christmas. Lord Jesus, today, would you help us in this place? Dear Lord, help us to give people a reason to believe in you. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to invite people to church to hear the gospel, the word of God, as you gave to this woman at the well, and Lord, to all the men that came out. Lord, some believe because of her difference, because of her words. Some people believe because of her change. Some people believe because of the word that you said. And Lord Jesus, some believe because, Lord, over time, they saw people live different. I'm certain that woman at the well won people to Christ the rest of her days because she was so changed. Father, would you help us to purpose in our heart to shine for you today? Because we love you, because what you've done for us. Lord, when thou riseth up, Lord, help us to get up every morning and claim you as our Savior. Lord, that we want to please you and walk with you. Now speak to heart this morning, dear Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.